You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest Niall Flanagan. Tonight's episode, That's Orphantainment!
Your life's gone down the drain, your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame, Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's All Just Enough to Bluff episode, we take a trip back to the 70s in the company of Niall Flanagan from Secret of the Sailor Madness to sample 7 first episodes from World Masterpiece Theatre. So, and these shows we are going to sample are Fables of the Green Forest, Heidi of the Alps, Dog of Flanders, 3,000 Leagues in Search of Mother, The Story of Perrin. I know it's funny because we know somebody called Perrin. Anne of Green Gables and The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. So, had you seen any World Masterpiece Theatre before?
With this point of Tom Sawyer thing that you added on there at the end, I actually had seen some of that in its dub format on Lost Kid or something like that. But for the most part, these things I have definitely heard of, and I'd known there was name talent associated with them, but I hadn't actually got around to watching. So, this is like a nice history lesson for me, if anything else.
How about you, Anthony?
Oh, I feel like I should have done. I feel like at some point in my childhood, these would have been on, or at least some of them were on Channel 4. Did I imagine that? Or have they been on?
I imagined that.
Because the,
there,
I don't know.
There were things by at least one of these directors you would have seen.
But were they on VHS at any point over here?
I think some of them might have got, the cheapo kids vids. Some of it had like movie edits, so they may have done the movie edit version of them.
Because I feel like I may have seen that if someone, you know, you go to a car boot sale, pick up a couple of VHS cartoons as a little treat and end up with one of these. But yeah.
I had seen one of these episodes before, and for some reason, of all the World Masterpiece Theatres to choose from the 70s, of the ones we're watching today, I picked the worst one to watch an episode of. And that would be The Story of Perrin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a very good first episode. Maybe it picks up later on.
Oh, let's not be too generous.
Here's the other question, though. How many of these, as they're all based on novels of varying fame, how many of these stories were you familiar with, Gary?
Heidi, Tom Sawyer, Dog of Flanders, Anne of Green Gables, and then I hadn't heard the story of Perrin, 3,000 Leagues in Search of Mother, I knew about Fables of the Green Forest, by way of Shira Bako and their Andy's Chucky, analog for it.
How about you, Anthony?
Well, it's a weird one because I feel like a literary heathen by kind of not being that familiar with any of them. And obviously I know Tom Sawyer, just through, I guess, popular culture, you know, it's, everybody knows of Tom Sawyer, but in terms of the story, no idea. Whether I was read it, you know, at primary school and stuff, but no idea.
Yeah, I think I've definitely read Tom Sawyer, and I've seen live action adaptations of Heidi and Tom Sawyer when I was a kid. They used to, like, air them during summer holidays. And I was familiar with the story of the Dog of Flanders, but I don't think I've ever seen an adaptation or read it at all. And I was aware that Anne of Green Gables existed, but I don't think I was ever aware of what the story about it was. But hey, I do know now.
Yes.
So let's crack on with 1973's Fables of the Green Forest, episode 1. And also I shall dig out my synopses. This is probably the thing which had got the longest written synopsis.
Really?
See a lot of these shows we're going to talk about here that there's not a real big stakes or anything of much not happening in most of them. But in this, it's high drama.
Yes.
Animals of Fragile World Eat Your Heart Out, you know?
Yeah, this opens up with one animal planning on getting another animal killed. Yeah, we'll get to some of the later ones, but this is packed with incidents. So it opens with Springer arriving in the forest, And Peter Rabbit wakes up all the other hibernating animals who are complaining that it's not really spring because it's still snow on the ground. And then we meet Papa Chuck, who is training his new offspring how to survive as a woodchuck in a world full of predators who want to eat woodchucks. Anyway, this guy called Sammy Jay, who's a blue jay wearing a little bowler hat, he has a falling out with Papa Chuck. And because he's fallen out with him, and they said they're never going to talk to each other again, he decides he'll get the fox to eat him and leave his newborn children orphans.
That Sammy guy, he's a stirring shit wherever he goes.
Is it? I don't want to swear, so because he's such a nasty piece of work.
The fox has found out about these newborn children already, and he plans to eat the children, not the old grizzly woodchuck.
Oh, woodchucks animals.
Yes, they're the same as groundhogs.
So I thought it was like a beaver, and I was watching, I was saying, what animal is it? It's like an otter, but it's not an otter because it's in the forest. I just couldn't pin it down, but woodchuck, okay.
And Peter decides to save them. He basically gets the farmer's dog to chase him to where Reddy Fox is, and then the dog goes after the fox rather than the rabbit. But yeah, there's a lot of high tension in this, and high incident level.
It's like when
high stakes.
Yeah, like when Peter Rabbit, like he wants to go warn the woodchuck family of the impending danger, but the fox are wandering outside. He's like, oh, if I go there and try and like warn them, I'll certainly be killed. And you see him just like agonizing over the decision. like seeing this poor rabbit, you know, driven to the brink of madness with fear, was overcoming it.
Yeah, these are based on books by Thornton Burgess, who's an author I have never heard of. I have heard Americans talk about Peter Cottontail, and that.
Well, I've heard of Peter Rabbit.
Yeah, well, I've heard of the Beatrix Potter Peter Rabbit.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, that's
the same one I was thinking. Yeah.
But it's not, no. I don't know whether he ripped off Beatrix Potter because he started writing them after Beatrix Potter did.
Hey, Batman, Peter's a pretty common name. So.
Yeah, Peter Rabbit. I like Reddy. Reddy is a character I could watch a show about. Reddy the Fox. Because he's not... Yes, he's the bad guy, but he's just doing his...
Yeah, he's just being a fox.
He's being a fox, exactly. Yeah. Whereas Sammy Jay...
he's gleefully looking forward to watching this fox tear Papa Chuck apart in front of his children.
Because what insult does Papa Chuck give? It's something so unjust. It does not justify a murder in the forest. Oh, Sammy Jay, I hated him.
Yeah.
He's like a... Hasn't he got like a shirt and tie on as well?
Yeah.
Just slimy...
Everybody hates it. Like it should be a crow by all rights, because he's just kind of... Like, the birds are singing in the branches going, tweet, tweet, it's spring, ha, ha, ha. And then he goes like, hey, it's me, Sammy, I don't care about anything, I'm going to sing in this, wah, 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 I'm going to spoil the ambience. But, wow, what a pill, huh? Everybody hates this guy.
Yeah, he even got his own book.
He did?
1915, The Adventures of Sammy Jay.
1915? Gosh.
He dies in the end.
Oh, that's impressive, and... All these shows run for about 50 episodes, don't they?
Yeah, entire year, yeah.
How did they do it?
Well, I think we find out in some of the later first episodes how they used to do it.
Yeah. But this has got a bit of, like, action, like, towards, you know, and there could be these little day-to-day incidents. Also, it's more like a switch perspective of the animal. I mean, like, while... Reddy Fox is, you know, he's portrayed as the bad guy and so forth, and he's fulfilling his biological imperative, but, like, he's got, like, a grandmother at home who's he's gonna feed as well. Like, that's a simple dude, you know?
Yeah, but Chuck should give himself up.
Yeah, Reddy Fox gets his own book, and old Granny Fox gets her own book as well. I imagine this was quite easy to get 52 episodes of, because the guy wrote so many books.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I can't imagine the Granny Fox episodes being too exciting. Her sat knitting in the treehouse.
I don't know. It could be like how Granny Fox got her groove back.
Well, it looks like episode 13 is called The Fox Hunting, so maybe they become victims.
That'd be quite good. Especially if they don't put a face to the humans. I like the idea of this kind of outside force coming into the forest and causing problems.
Mm. Could be like Reddy Fox gets caught by the hunting party. It's up to Granny Fox, you know, to shake off the cobwebs and bust her ne'er-do-well grandson out of the pokey.
And the literal Japanese name, it translates as Rocky Chuck the Mountain Rat. As you said, yeah, it got a reference, a nod in Shirobako as the fake World Masterpiece Theatre show and is Chucky.
Yeah, like you could see the whole like intro sequence that they made for the show as well. Like, put a lot of effort into it, and I'm not sure, like, you know, if in the flashbacks we're seeing them making the show in the 70s. I don't know if like the anecdote has any bearing on it at all about, you know, everyone using kind of strange colors for a certain background, but it made it more effective and dreamlike and so forth and so forth. But it'd be interesting if it was. I've been trying to kind of read up on all the. Who these people actually are in real life, no, because I finished the series last week, so we need to go back and read all the stuff about it.
Yeah, the director listed on Anime News Network is Masaharu Endo, but does not seem to have done anything else according to of note, according to this, so whether that's actually the real name of the guy or not. Character design is Yasuji Mori, who was one of the guys responsible for sort of establishing the Toei style and a big influence on a lot of the other people who we're going to mention shortly as we get to their World Masterpiece Theatres.
Yes.
I need to say this now before I forget. Not that I could possibly forget, because there's a lot of animals in all the shows. But all the animals look so animal-like. Aside, obviously, wearing like a bowler hat and shirt and ties, but the way each animal moves...
I don't know. I thought they were kind of greetings card... looking a little bit.
Well, I guess in so this. in look, but there's some more so the later shows, obviously, which we will get to, but
yeah,
there's a way the animals move. It's like, yes, that's how a goat would move. That's how a rabbit run away from a dog. Like when Peter's being chased by the dog, or kind of coaxing the dog to ready, the dog looks like not a real dog. I'm not gonna go that far.
Yeah.
It's spot on.
It doesn't look like some of the sort of Hanna-Barbera characters we get in other later on ones.
Yeah.
Also, thankfully, in this, they didn't have to draw any horses. Which
what's wrong with horse drawn?
They always have a problem with horses. I don't know. Why.
Yeah. I think it's proof that God exists. If God exists, he would have made horses easy to draw.
It's like drawing bikes, I suppose. Nobody can draw a bike.
But then none of these have got the worst animated horses that I've seen. There's a later show in the 90s of a similar style. I don't think it was World Masterpiece Theatre. I think it was like a World Masterpiece Theatre knockoff, where there was the worst drawing of a horse I've ever seen. It was the anime version of The Secret Garden.
In what way is it bad? Is it just as
just
it
the
moves?
Proportions are all completely wrong.
Okay. I'll have to track that down.
We'll have a bash at drawing a horse and just give up that. So what do you think of this overall as...
I quite enjoyed it now. This just kept me a bit more attentive. I think I came to this like second to last. For a lot of the other things, I was kind of, you know, second or doing something else while I was playing away. But this, I kind of held my attention for the whole of it, which I guess kind of speaks to its quality then.
Yeah, I like this a lot actually. It's just like you did, you kind of watched this after some of the others. So when you first see Reddy waking up in his foxhole, or whatever you want to call it. His grandmother's actually sleeping, but I thought she was dead.
So did I. Yes.
I thought...
For a second, yeah. I
because some of the tones of the other episodes in the other shows, I thought, yeah, it's going to go down that kind of route, and thankfully she opened her eyes. So.
No, someone's got to be orphaned, dear.
yes. Ooh. Thankfully not, but no, I like this. I like this actually.
Yeah, you don't really see a move really. You just hear her tell her grandson to shut the door after it's letting all the cold air in.
Oh, poor old lady. But at least we know she's alive because she gets her own book.
Yeah, I can't watch any more of her. She just closes the doors up and it's like, oh, spring's arrived. Plenty of tasty mortars out there. I'll talk to one of those now when I get out.
She's spicy. I like it.
Apparently there was it did air in Canada. I don't know whether that was in 1978. And it's aired in Germany, Spain, Romania, Portugal, Venezuela, and Hong Kong. There is only one episode fansubbed. So if you liked it a lot, you're out of luck.
Well, I guess we better read the books then.
Yeah. They're probably public domain at this point.
Hmm.
Well, you'd hope 1915 for... Actually, I don't want to read about Sammy J. Forget it. I don't want to be annoyed.
You hear his side of the story.
Yeah, he might be the good guy.
There's a lot of stuff going around about me. You know, I described this portrayal of myself on this so-called Fields of the Green Forest. This is my side of the story.
I was pleasantly surprised by it. I wasn't sure what I was going to get looking at the character designs on the wiki page. And, but yeah, it was a pleasant surprise in comparison to some of the other shows.
Hmm.
Okay, on to a more famous world masterpiece, this show, Heidi of the Alps, episode 1, 1974, directed by Asal Takahata, obviously famous for Grave of the Fireflies, more recently The Tale of Princess Kaguya, is based on the novel Heidi's Years of Wandering and Learning by Johanna Spyri from 1880. Character designs are by Toyo Ishida, who went on to direct Fist of the North Star.
My main man.
But his character design work tends to look like this. And Yuichi Katabe, who will go on to be animation supervisor on most Pokemon things. And continuity and layout by Hayao Miyazaki.
Some no-name jabroni.
Yeah. These people, this is the last you ever heard of them. No, it's full of people who went on to do huge things. And in this, 5-year-old Heidi is taken to the Alps by her aunt, who has been raising her since she was one, due to her parents dying. She then leaves the girl in the care of her grumpy, social outcast grandfather. And on the way, Heidi befriends a goat herd and some goats. And that's about it for this first episode.
Yep.
That's fine though. I don't think it's that bad. Now the way you're saying it like that, I'll
just point it out.
Yeah, you're right. Incident. You're right.
I mean, it's a very well animated episode.
Mm. Oh man, this looks the best out of all of them.
Oh, I'm not sure. I think this is what I prefer. I think looks better than this.
I think it helps that the file or source we had is of pretty damn good quality.
That could be colouring with my perception.
It looks. Pretty damn good in terms of the encoding of it, so.
Yeah, these were fan-subbed Blu-ray rips, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And I believe the entire series has been fan-subbed. So if you wanted to watch it all, you could. But yeah, it looks great. I love the fact that Heidi has been made to wear all her clothes on this journey. So she's almost like a spear for the first half of the episode.
I think she's like one of those, you know, those little Russian dolls that fit into themselves. She's all kind of squashed up. She's lovely, though. She's lovely.
It's made to go hiking up the mountain and all that gear, and then Rance put in, why are you tired? Come on, hurry up with you. I'm wearing everything I own. I got like 15 layers on me. And then when she finally just goes off to play with the goats, and like everything comes out of the thing. Oh, the coat, the hoodie, the everything, the boots, all this big pile of laundry that's like left around her. And then...
But it makes sense because that I'm sure that happened not on a daily basis, but that would have to happen. Kids would be, you know, if kids were moving for whatever reason, it would be like, look, bring whatever you can, but you're going to have to carry it. So it makes sense. So there's some truth there. Yeah. It's a hard world.
Mm. It kind of picked up a bit for me when they actually got as far as a granddad's house, and, you know, we get to see what he's like. He's this, you know, here's some really, like, stories about the guy when he went up and, oh, I'm this different Heidi to her granddad. And what, old man, I'm uncle up in the shack. What are you doing? That's crazy. He's some kind of outcast. I heard he murdered a guy in his youth. Are you sure you want to leave your 5-year-old niece there?
Thing is, when she finally sees him, he's a bit mean, but after seeing the grandfather and Silverfang, the guy's a saint. He's an absolute saint. I can't remember the young boy's name in Silverfang now, but...
Hey, you haven't seen episode 2 yet. Maybe he's going to toughen Heidi up.
Toughen up Snowflake, the goat. No, I do like the goat. Little Snowflake is a fine-looking creature. The way it runs around, it's very nimble and dainty like a goat should. At least how I picture a small goat.
Well, yeah, Takahata is all about being realistic, even if that means an entire episode is just a long journey.
How does this end? I don't want to spoil it as such for people, but I can't
I died.
There's there's plot twists, I seem to remember.
Really?
But I had forgotten when I looked at the full synopsis. I was like, oh yeah, that happens. I thought it was like, oh, just things
that, yeah. Yes.
But no, there's more stuff that happens than just excitement in it. There's like loads of other characters who haven't shown up in the first episode who are important to the story.
That's quite intriguing. And we can get this on Blu-ray, or is it just Blu-ray fan subs?
I think it's just Blu-ray fan subs.
Okay.
I don't know what the licensing situation would be on all of these, because you think somebody would pick one up, so maybe it's just really expensive to license. You think that the names involved on this one, on Marco and on Anna Green Gables, you think someone would say,
we could probably
sell them. But the fact we've had Sherlock Hound, but not these, suggests there must be some sort of licensing hurdles to bypass.
So what kind of plot twists?
Well, yeah, this, yeah, spoiling a book from 1880.
Yeah. Older than every listener, I would hope.
Basically, Heidi gets sent away to be a friend for a poorly girl.
Oh.
For a rich family. And then eventually they bring the girl up to the Alps to get her better.
Oh, it sounds pretty deep. It's a lot more than, you know, as you've said, the first episode, which is just her playing with goats for a chunk of it.
It is.
Which is fine.
But you get the sort of her super optimistic personality that this 5-year-old. She's not bothered by the fact that her aunt and grandfather are having a flaming row on the side of a mountain. Oh, there's the dog as well.
Which dog is it? Oh, yes, yeah.
The dog. Oh, yeah, I remember the dog.
It doesn't do much, though, in
not
this.
Not in this episode, this. No.
that's... The granddad like, told the aunt like, flat out, okay, you turn around in the school, like, get the hell out of here with this kid, don't be bothering me with this. Say, okay, and the aunt goes, okay, how are you going to leave here now? See you there, goodbye. She literally runs off. The granddad doesn't want to put say, and so like, okay, kid, so like, what do you do? What are your plans for the future?
She just sort of stares at her, and then she just wanders off, enjoying herself, being curious.
Yeah, I'll see you at dinner, kid.
See, on the Wikipedia picture for the grandfather looks fine. I'm sure he's smiling
obviously,
in
that's
his,
the story.
He's going to, around.
She's going to soften him.
Oh, okay. Of course. Yeah, pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, this looks great, and it's slow moving, but that I think that was the point. And again, you got to get 50 episodes out of this story, so take your time.
Gosh, were kids like really excited for these?
These were
huge,
these were like
year,
the thing,
or...
these got the best ratings.
Whoa!
Even when it was in its downward spiral in the 80s and early 90s. While they were like losing a rating point every year, they were still the top of the ratings in animation.
Yeah. I think it could be something like a lot of kids watching it will live in bustling cities, and this is showing them like, you know, you can live in the countryside, you know, have fun and frosty animals in the fields, and we could like run around the flowers and have a wonderful childhood. So you can kind of live vicariously through that. It's like, oh, wish I was Heidi or Marco or any of those kids, but. Except for all the orphans stuff, but that, but like, you know, the kind of frolicking the meadows, that's my kind of deal.
And you get to see the world a bit as well. It's like a travelogue to a certain extent. And some of them are more literally a travelogue than this one is, but.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I knew, like, okay, Flanders is in the title. You got, like, the Alps and the Heidi. Bosnia is in another one there. Like, well, didn't know it was Bosnia. It looks quite nice back in the day.
Okay. I can imagine like a family, like this being like a family event each week.
Oh yeah.
Like this family sits down, someone sheds a tear. Because it,
I do say having, sad. Making myself watch 7 of these for a podcast, it did feel a little like I was being forced to eat my greens.
It's true.
Compared to the normal trash we normally watch for the podcast.
Do you think this is our upper brow episode,
our highbrow episode.
Highbrow, yeah.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. Well, definitely by the time we get to my game at the end of the episode.
I wasn't sure if there was going to be a game, but to lighten the mood.
I didn't do the game I thought I might do, which was to have you guess which characters would survive to the end of their series.
So there's a lot of deaths in these.
Oh, of course. A lot of them are off screen though.
Yes.
Oh my God. Not like Giorgio's dogs getting...
Anyway, talking of deaths, The Dog of Flanders, episode 1 from 1975. Directed by Yoshio Kuroda, who went on to do loads of other World Masterpiece Theatre shows. Based on Marie-Louise de Ramé's novel from 1872 and character designed by Yasuji Mori again. So, in this first episode of The Dog of Flanders... Oh, what's that kid's name?
Nello.
Nello.
I thought it was a translation error. I thought it was saying hello. And I was like, oh, they've made a big boo-boo there, and then they kept saying...
Yeah, so Nello and his grandfather go to town to sell some milk. Nello sees a dog being abused by its cruel master. He buys some sweets, goes home, shares his sweets with his would-be girlfriend. That's about it.
Yep.
He gives the dog a little bit of water. Because the dog's exhausted.
You get a brief him sort of having some memories of his mother and a triptych, which will play an important part in the show. Try and see that triptych again.
What's a triptych?
Three-piece piece of art, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying he tries to become an artist as a talented Peter Paul Rubens.
Ooh.
I mean, actually, like a film version of Dog of Flanders, which could be, you know, if you were stuck for time, you could just watch that. It's the same director as well.
And there's film versions of this as well.
Mm.
And the dogs, what's the dogs called?
Patrash.
Patrash, because that's in the theme tune, isn't it? Mm. And, if you, any sense of metaphor, the opening gives away the ending of the show. yeah, this was harder going than Heidi.
Yeah.
Until the dog shows up.
Yeah.
But it has a purpose that gets...
But I was expecting them to have rescued the dog in the first episode.
Yes, yeah. How'd I go back for the dog? You little awful person.
If only he cares about nature, like a lot of someone had to believe, he doesn't have the courage or his convictions to, you know, act on them.
It also has the softest pair of street toughs I've ever seen.
Yeah, is that the toughest one for found these sweets? Is it right? Oh, Addy, here you go. Sorry, sir.
That's so true. But the dog, I had me, not screaming at the TV, but I was, that's all. I mean, he could have done nothing as a young boy, but, you know, tell your grandfather. You know, him and, he's a tough guy.
He gets home and he's like feeling kind of a bit guilty about it, but then he gets some sweets and then forgets his troubles. So it's like, I'll see you, dog. And then next episode preview, you know, dog doesn't appear at all, and then the high stakes drama we get is that they get caught in the rain shower.
Oh god, they must be when you say they drag them out for 50 episodes. This must be the one. When do they get the dog? Like episode 15?
I don't know.
The wiki
is very lacking in information, so.
Oh.
Some of these have got lots of detail. Basically, the Takahata ones have lots of detail on their wiki pages, and if it wasn't directed by Takahata, you're out of luck. Yeah.
Looking at the wiki page, the dog in the picture looks like it's got a Zorro mask on. That would be cute. That poor dog. Poor dog.
But, did you guess what the ending is? Spoiler, 150-year-old
boy. Well, I know a dog dies, so.
Oofed.
Yeah.
What they else both, happens?
They both die. They freeze to death in a church.
Shit.
That's why they're ascending to heaven in the opening credits.
Is there a film version of this?
There's loads of versions of this.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Quite often they leave out the ending, though.
Oh, because it's a legit kids' film at that point. Okay.
Now you know the rest of the story.
I'll have to track one of these down. It sounds like a not a fun watch, but...
Yeah, as the wiki says, none of the film versions, excluding the 1997 Japanese movie and Snow Prince, use the novel's ending, preferring to substitute a more optimistic one.
Hmm.
Well, you've got to track down that version, really, the dark version.
That's the remake of this TV series.
Yeah. Same director.
So it's animated as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
97.
Yes.
I might track it down.
It's a much brisker watch than 52 episodes.
That's true, yes.
Yes.
That's certainly true.
This is the no frolicking cut of Dog of Flanders.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that probably a lot of those 50-yard episodes involve stuff which doesn't happen in the book.
Mm.
Other excursions. Okay, let's move on to 3,000 Leagues in Search of Mother. Also, they call it From the Apennines to the Andes, which was part of Edmondo Diemekis' novel Heart from 1886. So it's just a part of a novel. It's not even an adaptation of the full novel.
Whoa.
Lazy.
And directed by Isao Takahata again. This time, character design by Yuichi Kotabe and continuity and layout by Miyazaki once more. And in this episode, the very first episode, Marco, who's a kid living in Italy, his mum gets a job as a maid in Argentina, but his parents take a long time to tell him that that's happening. That's it. That's the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. They go off for, like, you know, their, this is just a little jaunt in the horse and carriage, you know, off for a nice punk picnic. And then all along the way, all during the picnic, Marco keeps going, I love you, mother. And then we're going to be together forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the brother and the mother and the father are just going like, oh, that cat, took at the collar. Oh, oh.
And it's so sad. It is really sad. Do you not think?
Of the Takahata ones, this was the one which didn't connect with me.
Oh, I just think that the bit at the end with the boat, I was like, don't be so stubborn. Say goodbye to your mother properly. You might not see her again.
There is a promise of a monkey. So.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't make up for this.
But I'll say that might interest me watching other episodes.
Okay, I see.
Do you think, your monkey from, Blockade Battlefront is influenced by the design of this monkey?
I guess that kind of monkey, whatever it
yeah.
is. Yeah. I want to see this kid that just somehow, make this journey of thousands of miles to find his mother. Yeah. Like, I'm assuming by himself.
And he's a badass by the end.
He takes the monkey with him.
Oh, so okay. Me and my monkey and my wits will get there somehow. Okay, Jim Jim, let's go find my mother.
And what's his father's job? Do they say?
He's a doctor.
That's got to be good money. For those days.
I believe he's doing it out of the goodness of his own heart. So that's why. The mum needs to go and get a job to help pay for the hospital.
Yeah, but I think these are your debts, Dag. Fuck off and get a job yourself and pay for them.
Wiki tells us that he's a manager of a hospital who dedicates his time to treating poor patients, and therefore the family has financial difficulties.
Oh, no money there. No money there. And how does this end? Do they freeze in the ocean?
Everyone is okay.
Everyone?
Except for the monkey.
Oh, apparently a donkey dies, but I think the monkey's out.
Gosh. I'm reading here that apparently it was ranked 81st in the top 100 anime in TV Asahi in September 2005. It must be a pretty big deal if it's getting those kind of figures.
It is, yeah. This and Heidi and Anna Green Gables. Those are the three biggies.
I just can't imagine this being all that exciting, because what was the Matsumoto episode? We did the, what's the one where he goes after his mother dies? Oh, Millennium?
Galaxy Express 999.
Yeah, that is a journey. That is a journey I'm interested in, whereas I can't feel this would be half as exciting.
Well, no, he's not going to get a metal body at the end of it.
Well, yeah. Point proven.
That's in the rest of the book.
in the live action version. I like this though. The more I think about it, at the time I thought, ugh, this is slow, but looking back.
Yeah, I think if I'd done what I recommended to you guys and not watched a huge chunk of them in one go, I may have been better disposed to it, but I went to a wrestling show and so I had.
Ugh, gosh. I watched
these a huge chunk instead.
See, now I know. How you normally, I've done what you normally do and you what I do. Cause normally I watch them all in one fell swoop, but I watched this over 5 days.
Yeah.
Not this one episode.
I could have done. That's five best too. I watched like two per day, and then like, you know, after two, just feel, you know, it's just hard to pay attention to, like, nothing is happening. They're just like, they're going around a horse and cart. They're literally stopping to smell the flowers, and they get back in the cart. Oh wow, a dog. Yeah, a dog. Wow, what's the name? Dog. Okay, see you, dog. And then back in the horse and cart, keep going on again. And it's like, oh god, that's what happened. Do something, anything.
It wasn't as samey as all the mecha shows. At least it's not the exact same. Oh,
orphans.
Yeah, but that's...
pastoral lifestyles.
Try watching six of them off the trot.
Parents fears abandoning you to go and find... They got a job somewhere else. That happened in Heidi. Was that a common problem back in this era? I guess it must have been.
There's elements.
As a gazette.
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
He was an orphan who hung out with his grandfather. Oh. Very similar.
It was Heidi.
There's one plot element in every show ever.
Just think, as we're watching all these, you'll be able to get all the jokes in the first half of the last episode of Panty and Stocking now.
Is there loads of stuff?
The first half of the final episode is just a huge World Masterpiece Theatre parody.
Oh, okay. I never did finish watching Panty and Stocking.
Me neither.
Wasn't
ready.
Yeah, wasn't ready.
I ain't ready to do it.
Now you've done the training. Put in the hours.
We can slay this dragon. All right.
Yeah, so that was... I was approaching breaking point watching that, and then I broke watching the next thing. The Story of Perrine, episode 1, 1978. The one we missed out was the one about the raccoon, Rascal.
So that sounds great.
Yeah, that was great. It has such a great ending theme as well, and I was like, why has no one fansubbed this?
Ooh. You could have watched this guy just kind of figured out from context, or we each watched him go over three separate versions of what was going on in our heads.
Yeah. So instead we had to watch this pile of...
Oh, God.
It's got Doug Tanyan in it.
It's directed by Hiroshi Saito, who went on to do episodes of The Real Ghostbusters, Dennis, and then directed the 1990 version of Moomin, and Shigeo Koshi, who went on to direct Doug Tanyan.
Which I didn't know at the point of watching this. I was like, that chin on that dog looks familiar.
Character designed by Junichi Seiki, who also would go on to work on Doug Tanyan. And it is based on On for Meal by Hector Marlowe, a novel which came out in 1893.
Old. Sorry. I feel like I'm in the back of the class in history. Old. Boring.
In this episode, a kid has to travel a long way with a mother to meet a paternal grandfather. They don't get very far in this first episode.
Nope. Well, they got 50 episodes to do it in.
Yeah. The journey gets a lot harder.
Well, harder than this first episode.
Stuff actually happens in later episodes. Because bugger all happens in this episode.
In Perrin, or Perrine, she's a bossy little so-and-so.
She's gotta stay strong.
But her poor mother, and she's like, Mom, do this, Mom, do that. Okay, Perrin. She's just a bossy little so-and-so.
Hey, the mother has lost her husband, but she's lost her father, you know? So someone's gonna, keep this family together for the good of the two of them.
I guess so. And I don't get what putting on a sari does to make everyone want to photograph.
It's like, wow, look at that. Sexy Indian woman. How am I gonna pull that?
But they don't even want pictures with it. That's the thing. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. They all want a picture with her, like a cosplayer or something. But they're like, no, we want a picture with our family. Thank you.
Yeah. Would you watch an anime about a very sickly cosplayer dragged around the country by her daughter?
Depends on who they're cosplaying.
I heard on the wire that those Indians know, I think they're too about what photography biz.
And how does this end? Does they die at the end?
The mum dies partway through.
Oh no!
Then she get reached, but as the mum dies, she tells her daughter that her grandfather hates Perrin because he didn't approve of the marriage in the first place.
Really? Whoa.
And so when Perrin gets to where the grandfather is, she dons a disguise and pretends to be somebody else.
To get on his good side.
To figure out the lay of the land and to see whether she can reveal herself to him.
That's harsh going. This is a kid's show. God. I would never have watched any more. If I was a kid in 1978, I would let this Masterpiece Theatre one slide. Wait till next year.
I think you'll be fine.
Yes, because next year everything business picked up and we got Anna Green Gables, directed by Isao Takahata and, according to Wikipedia, others. I don't know whether that's just Wikipedia talking bollocks or whether people had to fill in on some episodes. Character design by Yoshifumi Kondo, who'd go on to direct Whisper of the Heart. Miyazaki did scene setting and layout, I think, for the first 15 episodes. And it's based on the novel by Lucy Maud Montgomery, which came out in 1908. So a little bit more modern.
Yeah.
And in this episode, a pair of siblings who seem to be in their 60s, late 50s, accidentally adopt a girl when they plan to adopt a boy. And this girl, Anne, is picked up from the train station. That's it. That's all that happens in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Cuthbert is surprised.
He is. But it's really good. I think this is really, really good. First episode. Just from the character animation on Matthew and Anne particularly.
Mm.
Sort of the way Anne's just cheeriness just completely blows over Matthew, so he can't even begin to tell her that he was expecting a boy, not a girl, who's going to help
him. Well, she just won't shut the hell up. We can't get a word inside.
But he doesn't mind, because he's a bashful, kind of shy guy anyway, so it compliments him.
Yes. And just like the amount of, I mean, the fact that they take so much time and just animating him wiping his shoes before he steps on the train station. Just so much detail got into the character animation in this. Even more, I'd say, than in Heidi.
And Anne is just a delight. The ditzy... She's just so happy.
Yes.
See then, understandably so.
She's the original manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah, it was like seeing her and Heidi to a lesser degree, and it kind of made sense. Hajime from Gatchaman Crowds, sort of her lineage makes more sense now.
Mm. The other director, who were you can find out, it was Shigeo Koshi.
Okay.
Of Titanic Dance Toy of Breen, so.
Well, there you go. But yeah, and then yet it's like the really sort of, the other good thing is it allows fantastic scenes when you get Anne's imagination animated as well.
Mm.
Mm. So she doesn't fly a horse yet, but she might.
She might.
And I want to know, because the narrator at the end of the episode kind of makes out like there's a dark secret for next week's episode. He alludes to something that, as if Matthew Cuthbert has a secret.
And, well, he hasn't told her that they were expecting a boy.
Oh, I guess, of course. But I was like, oh my God, where's this going to go? Because I'm under the impression that his sister, she's going to be a stern bitch. Am I right? Is she going to be
she's more serious than her brother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But of course, her heart will be softened.
Yes.
Anne could soften a stone man's heart. She is lovely.
Yeah.
She's a good character.
The thing there, the most optimal those two, because, you know, there's just a very fact that Matthew is taking the wagon, like, into town is enough to cause a ruckus from the neighbors. What's going on? There's obviously something wrong with them. A guy goes to the house right now. Marilla, what's going on? They're just going into the wagon into town. What's happening here? And it's all just like, just adopting a kid and they're going, what?
You don't know the kid. Careful.
Well, they're like, so adopting a kid at your age. You go, well, that's because we're getting old. That's why we're adopting a kid.
this neighbor was like, runs in, it's like the sky is falling. And said, what? What are you doing?
What's the setting for this again? What country is this?
Canada.
Oh, right. Okay. That's what it's all about. That's
Dearie mate. You can't be happy with that.
I'm not. I'm sorry.
Edit that out, please.
Matthew Cuthbert is surprised at that one.
He's ashamed of you.
He's ashamed. Oh, I did like this, but...
This was in my place.
Really? Well, actually, that's not surprising. It probably should be mine as well. So, you're not wrong. I don't know where it would go, and you know what's going to happen.
Small town hijinks.
If I just watch some more of the next time we're going to talk about.
They're making a new live action.
Are they? Okay.
Yes, recently announced with Martin Sheen as Matthew.
No.
Yes.
Really?
He's old enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised at the choice.
I mean, he's not very Canadian.
Well, no, I'm not leaning towards that. I'm just surprised that they're making a film of this.
It's a big popular book. People still love it today.
Yeah, it was the favorite book of one of the sisters from Read or Die TV, if I recall.
Oh, wow. See, I'm a literary heathen. I'm a monster.
A monster, right?
That's pretty good to know, actually, because I think it would probably be pretty good. Who's going to play the girl?
It's got
to be somebody with a lot of personality and a lot of, you know, like Anne.
I don't know. I just saw Martin Sheen was the only name I recognised.
And when's this coming out? Is this?
I think they're filming it at the moment.
Because he's in an untitled Warren Beatty project.
Don't think that's it.
No, it's not.
Warren Beatty as Anne.
Now that I would watch.
I could do it. I'm full of pit and burger.
Who does it say? 13-year-old Ella Ballantyne plays Anne.
Never heard of her. What else has she done?
I don't know. Anyway, let's not make this an Anne of Green Gables podcast. You can research that on your own time, Anthony.
Read a book.
Exactly.
Okay, our final thing we watched was the dub, the Saban dub of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, episode 1 from 1980, directed by Hiroshi Saito and based on the novel by Mark Twain from 1876. Character designs by Junichi Seki again, your dog Tanyan fella. And animation direction by Akio Sugino. Did you add that, Niall?
I did, because I saw, there's a name I know in the credits. Pop that in there.
Worked on Ashita no Joe, Blackjack, and Golgo 13.
Pretty much anything that Osamu Dezaki was working on, you'd find him attached to it as well, usually.
Yeah. And in this, we kind of get a bit of an introduction to who Tom is and the sort of various characters, and him and Hook Finn try and catch a pig.
And it's brilliant. It's hilarious.
It's good. It's really a lot more going on than some of the other titles here.
Yes, it is. We're back to being full of incident again.
Mm.
And I assume the show probably carries on like this. Do they get to any of the main plots of the actual novel? Or do they just give it as an excuse for Tom and Hook to do a different adventure each week?
Which I'd be happy with. I would watch them too.
Have you seen much more of this, Niall?
I typically saw it and say I've seen more than one of them, but I can't really recall them in any great detail. I just know that I watched a ton of them. They were usually on, I forget, was it just coming home from school or just before going to school? But, you know, it was definitely associated with, you know, around school time, to be honest. And then if you have one, Tom Sawyer not be the ideal model student. So, putting ideas in your head.
Oh. I think which line creased me was the, should I go to school? Should I pretend to be sick? Heads or tails? I'm like, oh, this guy. Tom Sawyer, you absolute hero. I was never off sick at school. My attendance, I used to win awards for attendance at school. So I've never a bad boy, but it's just so funny. It's charming. The humor, it's so little rascals, little rapscallion runner, and Huckleberry Finn. He's a great character as well. I like it a lot.
His dub voice was deeper than I was expecting, given the fact that he's smaller than Tom Sawyer. In the Japanese version, it is your lady who does Son Goku's voice is Tom Sawyer.
Oh, brilliant.
Mako Nozawa, huh?
Yeah.
I can't remember what Huckleberry Finn sounded like now that you've said. I can't remember being deep.
Hey, Tom.
Another bit, I was like, no. When they catch the pig, and the idea is to catch him in the trap, and Huckleberry Finn is not that heavy to pull a pig off the ground with his body weight. But okay, it's fine.
I don't know how, because he gets dragged around the entire forest and afterwards by the pig.
Yeah. I just like all the antics. I would have loved this as a kid. I'm giggling up about it now. Never mind as a kid. Actually, I probably wouldn't find it that funny as a kid.
And considering how shitty a quality video we watched of it, it still came through. On these tiny WMV files.
Well, the thing is, when I opened it in VLC, it must have only opened to a 3-inch box. I was like, oh my god, what is the quality? Then when I full screened it, it was okay. It wasn't that bad. I was pleasantly surprised. Because you weren't able to find this one originally, were you?
I was struggling, yeah. But somebody done a raw of a bunch of random episodes.
What's your search terms? Like, how you find this stuff?
Tom Sawyer was what I was searching.
But it seems so, what page of Google were you on at that point? Like 72?
Oh, I was on a popular torrent aggregator site.
Okay. I shall say no more.
I was surprised there wasn't, you can find it in Tagalog and in other languages on YouTube, but not in English.
Yeah, you kind of need some form of translation.
Yeah. Yeah, someone had fans of the first episode, but that wasn't, I couldn't get a hold of that. But there you go. But yeah, it was nice to watch. So there was even though he is an orphan, it's not like Dread. Is he an orphan or is his parents just dumped him with his aunt? I can't remember.
he's orphaned, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Is Huckleberry Finn orphaned as well?
Well, they say in this he is, but he's not in the book.
Okay.
His dad's a drunk in the book.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's not like sort of the Dread Maudlin sort of "won't someone think of the children" orphan stories that some of these others are.
He's fine. He's living life.
He's smarter than the adults. That's the point of it.
Well, smart enough. He could do paying a bit more attention. You know, it was like they managed to trap the pig in one of the rooms on the steamship, and it's like, okay, Tom, you stay outside the room and guard it, and I'll go in and get the pig. And it's like, okay, Huck, you go in there. Like, wow, what about the rest of this boat? And then off he goes.
what about the little kid who snitches on them? What was he? Jeff Thatcher. When he's running away with Huckleberry Finn, he's like, oh, I bet that Jeff Thatcher's there snitching. And he does. Hey, look, Teach. There's Tom and Huck.
Do you think you could have climbed out the window of your class without being noticed?
Oh, gosh. The stuff of dreams.
If he's so good at sneaking out, I know, obviously he isn't good enough to go on a much wider circle away from the rest.
I had too much respect for my education to even dream of playing, is it hooky, people call it? Playing hooky?
It is, yeah.
Mitchin.
Yeah, don't even know the terminology, me.
But yeah, so what would you say your favourite is out of the bunch that you've watched? Would you be willing to watch more? That is the other question.
Like more of any of these, or just more in the World Masterpiece Theatre?
More of any of these.
Well, if there was more of them, I'd probably watch some more of the Tales of the Green Forest, for to be honest. And maybe a bit more of Tom Sawyer perhaps as well, just a few things here and there. But as you said before, there's no more Tales of the Green Forest like fans of that there, so I'll just have to take what I can get.
How are you, Anthony?
I think I would be more inclined if they were dubbed, because I would find it, not that I ever struggle with subs, by no means, but you can easily turn off watching one of these and not even lose track, but you kind of, oh, is this still going on? Where's a dub? You can be doing something else in the background and pick up what you need. So I would say yes, having watched them all over 5 days, I feel a lot more warmth towards them than when I was first watching them. So yeah, I think all these were all right, But obviously Story of Perrin being a tough goer, but the rest are all right, by my book.
The Story of Perrin was about an orphaned game developer travelling around playing a trade.
In jokes. Right.
Oh, there's one thing I would watch that I didn't know, and that was they did a one in 2007, the Les Miserables, like the story.
Oh, yeah, that's when it came back, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the Les Miserables story, but over 52 episodes, is it just about cassette as well?
Did that one go on that long?
It's apparently so.
Okay.
And that it seems 26, maybe 13 episodes, I would totally be on board. That's a bit too long.
Sorry, go on.
There's a Sound of Music one as well, and there's Lassie.
Oh, I would love the Lassie one.
Yeah, is Nobody's Boy Remy in this as well?
No, I don't think it is. I think that's one of the things which is like World Masterpiece Theatre, but it wasn't in the World Masterpiece Theatre slot.
Nobody's Girl Remy, what's that?
That's the Nobody's Boy Remy remade with a girl as the main character.
Okay, well that's a relatively newish looking one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We're seeing one here that one, which one was this? The director of one of these did a Peter Pan, series now, which again, I don't know if this is the same thing, but that I had seen a bit of as well.
Yeah, that's World Masterpiece Theatre, that's 89.
I think it was Yoshio Kuroda, yeah, I think it was him.
Oh no, of course I'd watch the Moomin. The Moomin's one they did. I'd give that a blast.
Well, good news! A later episode this year, you will watch those Moomin episodes.
Yay!
From the 69 and 72.
Saints be praised.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Unfortunately, I don't think the first episode gets into the wildness that annoyed Tove Jansson so much.
That's a shame.
It is. I don't think there's any gunplay. Okay. And obviously, as I've said, I liked Anna Green Gables, but at the same time, I'm not sure I want to watch all of it. Because I'm like Anthony, I'm a monster. I'd rather watch trashy things.
Yep.
The things which are good for me.
The trashy things, but they're entertaining things. And
I know, we've seen that trailer for Yushio and Tora.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I love how ugly that thing is. They're not going to try and update this thing at all. They're just going to like just animate it with modern software and techniques. They're going to keep it looking like it's the exact same as it was in 92 or whatever it came out.
Get out of my face, little Anne. I want to watch demons and shit.
Exactly. Anyway, let's find out how trashy and how low my tastes lie with my game. As well, a lot of these characters are lacking a father, but not these characters who are in my quiz. As we play Who's the Daddy?
It's orphan time.
No, I don't think any of these are orphans. I think they've all got dads. So I'm going to give you a name of a character, and all you've got to do is tell me the name of their dad. Oof. I'll also tell you what anime they're from as well.
Oh, easy.
Okay. Niall from One Piece, Monkey D. Luffy, who's the daddy?
Monkey D. Dragon.
You are correct. Anthony,
mm-hmm.
from One Piece, Monkey D. Dragon, who's the daddy?
Oh, he's got the beard. Is it him? Oh, the leader of the Marines. Am I just totally, I don't know.
Niall, do you want to steal it?
Garp.
Yes.
Monkey oh, I was right.
Garp.
I was right with his description, wasn't
you
it?
Were, yes.
Yeah.
Niall, from One Piece, Portgasty Ace.
That would be Gold D. Roger.
That is correct. Anthony, from Dragon Ball, Trunks.
Vegeta.
That is correct. Niall, from Dragon Ball, Goku.
Let's see, gotta be careful here. It's Bardock.
You are correct. Anthony, from Ranma Half, Ranma Sayotome.
I don't know.
Niall.
Dude turns into the panda.
I need his name.
Okay.
Shirakuma.
No, don't got it.
No, I don't got it.
It is Genma. It is Genma. Okay, Niall's yours now. Shinji Ikari.
Gendo Ikari.
Yes. Anthony. Edward Elric.
No. Bloody. Hollenheim? Can you give me that?
No. Niall, chance to steal. He's
Hohenheim.
You... That is correct. Oh. Okay, Niall. from Naruto. Naruto Uzumaki.
What's his stupid dad's name?
Depends how strict he's been.
I forgot his name. I think it's something like... Inaba? No, I don't know.
Anthony, do you know?
I don't know if you're going to accept this. The fourth Hokage.
No, his name. Not his title.
His mother's like no, I don't know.
It's Minato Namikaze.
Oh.
Okay, Anthony, from Mazinger. Koji Kabuto. Who's the daddy?
I am the worst with names. I'm going to pass.
Niall, do you know Koji's
dad? I can see his face and mustache and scar in my mind's eye. shit. is it? It's saying Shinji to me.
No, it's Kenzo.
Kenzo. Mr. Kabuto.
Hey, Niall from Astro Boy. Astro Boy's father.
Professor Tenma.
You are correct. Anthony, mm-hmm. from Tiger and Bunny, Kade Kaburagi.
Oh, man. Oh, what is his name? What is his name? Wild Tiger.
That'll do.
Oh, thank God. What's his real name again?
Kotetsu.
That's it.
God. Okay, Niall, Yuri Petrov from Tiger and Bunny.
It is like, ooh, like Mr. Hero, Mr. something. I've forgotten his, damn it.
Anthony, Chester Steele.
I know exactly who it is, back on
Yeah, fat guy.
Oh, Mr. Amazing.
No, Mr. Legend.
Oh. How many years has it been? It's only been like 3 years or something.
I was picking things most of these things you've seen.
Oh, so. I know.
Hey, Anthony. Joseph Joestar from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Who's the daddy?
It's not Jonas Joestar?
No. Niall.
RAF pilot George Joestar.
That's correct.
Legendary.
Okay, and Niles. Also from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Jotaro Kujo.
Satao Kujo.
You are correct. Anthony from Hunter Hunter, Gon Freeks. Is that how you pronounce his surname?
Freaks.
I guess it's Freaks.
Gon Freeks.
Oh my gosh. It's Gin!
You are correct.
I was a bit excited there.
Niall, also from Hunter Hunter, Killua Zoldyck.
I think his name is Silver.
You are correct. It is Silver. Anthony, from Silverfang, Gin. What's the fucking daddy's name?
I know, he's... I feel like it begins with a H. Probably not now. Oh my god, this is tough. I'll pass, I'm the worst with names.
Niall.
I can almost make it out in my mind. Oh... I'm going to stab in the dark. Okami.
No, Ricky. And last one for you, Niall, from Soul Eater, Death the Kid.
The Death?
That is correct. And Anthony, last one for you.
Yes.
From Gurren Lagann, Nia Tepelin.
Nia Tepelin?
Well, I'm not all going to do, come on.
I know, but I am so bad with names. Seriously. Nia Tepelin. That's not the priest kid, is it?
No.
Oh, is he the bug? Oh! Spiral King.
That'll do.
Yes.
I got Lord G name written down, but I'll accept Spiral King as well.
Thank you.
Okay, that's 11 points to Niall, 4 points to Anthony.
That is...
Alright.
How do you remember so many names?
Don't know. And there's a sponge for useless information, I suppose.
Sponge for certain things, but names and titles. I've now learned that I can't remember the title of something. I'll read it. I'll read like 10 chapters of it and be like, don't know where it's called, but I'll tell you where it's about.
So next time I don't do the quiz, you just describe their fathers.
Yeah.
And the answer should always be, they look like their son, but with a mustache.
Yes.
Because I was looking up anime dads, and then I just, one of the pictures on Google Image Search quite early on is one of my pictures of Mendel from Eurosite Server's dad, who just looks like Mendel with a mustache.
Games are hard. That is, I need to get some.
Can't be that hard. No, I've got 11 of them.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it's more. Easy, but because they weren't any easier, they're just, you know.
Yeah,
I think
I could have gotten more if it would accept like visual descriptions of them, because I could see them in my mind.
Anything you want to plug, Niall?
Let's see. You can find me on my own podcast, Secret of Cinema Madness, which can be found at secretcinemadness.blogspot.com on iTunes and Stitcher, talking about cartoons along with some anime on there. You can find me on Twitter at Nicholas Cage, as NIALLCALAS_Cage. And if you're going to Kidacon, I have two panels on, both on a Friday. From 2:30 to 3:30, I have If Chins Could Kill, the filmography of Yoshiaki Kawajiri. And later on that day, from 6:30 to 7:30, I have Head on the Cell, Best Anime Fight Scenes. If you need something to do, come on down.
Anthony.
Oh gosh, I can't even remember anymore. Twitter, and ask you. And I guess I'm going to have to start playing that. What was that guy with the game, the memory game? Kawashima. Yeah, thanks, Niall. You've been playing. I need to play that and get my brain going.
Eat some more fish.
Yep, true, true. And that is all.
And I'm also at Kitacon on the Friday at 7 o'clock. You can find me talking anime pigs. I finally got past the problem I had with trying to figure out the name of the pig in Dr. Slump. Turns out all the names I had were all the names for the same pig. Very confusing. And I'm also doing Mad Extravaganza on the Sunday at 6 o'clock. So if you're there, come and check it out. And you can also find me on Twitter at awesome_engine and on Tumblr at linkinparkintheendamv.tumblr.com. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes, on Stitcher, and other aggregation sites. In fact, one emailed me saying, claim this podcast. So I'm
good
job.
And
what does that mean? Say that again? What?
I don't know. Somebody was just aggregating podcasts and then sent, because they found the email on the site, I assume. Claim this podcast as yours. Anyway. Once you've found us, why not subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the little orphan boys that are dynamite in the brain. Goodbye!
Goodbye.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
Please edit out that Canadian joke.